Welcome back to All Villages. Again, we're glad you joined us. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas. Hope you had a wonderful and safe New Year's. Our hope this year is that, again, that we'll learn to walk more faithfully with the Lord, that our lives would flourish in Him, that our our purpose in life isn't just something that we kind of figure out, or it's based on what the stock market's doing, or it's our joy is based again in our faith and who we are in the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to keep reaching out to Him, to get to know Him, to follow Him again closer every single day. But it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen automatically. It's something the Lord does in us and through us, and it's something that we get to lean into and learn how to again walk in the way of the Lord. But before we go any further, again, welcome, glad you're here, but let us take a moment and let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time of Christmas. Thank you for helping us to remember and prepare, but also to anticipate not only your coming before, but your coming again. Lord, help us to reach out to that, hold on to that, and to know that your faithfulness throughout the ages is for each one of us, that you truly are faithful, you truly are good. We thank you again for the blessing of your word. We ask that you would help us to read deeply into it, to know it, that we wouldn't be afraid of it reading us, that we would be challenged but be encouraged as well. Lord, have your way with us now, we pray. In your name, amen. Well, we had a time of celebrating the Lord's coming and calling again Christmas just this last week. Hope it was a great, again, Christmas for you and, again, this New Year's. A lot of times people just think Christmas is about, like, you know, the kids and about, you know, their joy and stuff. Don't get me wrong. Love seeing the kids unwrap things. Love to see their excitement around this time of year. And it's fun. But you know, Christmas is for adults too. Christmas is for us to remember again who we are in the Lord. Remember what God has done for us. And it's important that you and I realize that it's so much bigger than what's, again, under the tree, than the lines, than all the challenges that we might face at this time of the year. No, the Christmas is a reminder again for us of who God is and what God has done for us and is what He's going to be continuing to do in us and through us. You know, Christmas isn't over, actually. There's 12 days of Christmas. It's not just a tune. It's actually, it was a time of persecution. They came up with this to teach people, to train people what about the story of God and what God is doing in the church and in the life of His people. And so, two turtle doves, Old Testament, New Testament. We got four Gospels, okay? So there's all these different things that represent, again, the goodness of God. And so, but it's not just, again, a song. It's actually the time we remember when the three kings, it's really not three kings, it's the Magi, when they gave three gifts, is what the scriptures say, of again, this newborn baby that was king of the world. That's still king of the world. And yet in all that he came in and all the fragility that he displayed, he was still Lord of the universe. And it's something that, yes, it's hard to wrap our minds around, but yet it's so beautiful in the fact that he came in humility. He came in love. And he didn't say you have to have it all together. He said, yeah, just come to know me. Get to know me. Receive. Learn to walk in the way that I created you to walk. As we learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus, it's something that God does in us again and through us. But remember, Christmas is about, obviously, Jesus, but it's not just for the little kids, the little children. No, it's about all of us, again, coming, remembering, celebrating. And so I hope you had a very merry little Christmas. I hope that Christmas, again, is so much bigger than just that one day for you, that it's about learning, again, the goodness of God in Jesus. Well, we got a text here that comes from John chapter 1 that I want to jump into. It's a great, great text. In fact, when John wrote this, I mean, he is pulling so much from of the culture of the time to try to help people really wrap their minds around who this Jesus is and was. This is definitely written to a non-Jewish group. when it comes to John, but yet there's breadcrumbs throughout that Jewish people would truly gain a lot. But he's trying to give an account, and he's trying to really paint this vivid picture of how different this Jesus is, that he's not just another person who, you know, is trying to lead a revolt or just trying to, you know, gain some fame in any way. No, this Jesus is bigger and greater, and has been around for so long. So we'll jump into it, but understand when it says the Word, there he's using it as a metaphor for Jesus for sure, but he's using it also as a way of connecting with Greek thinkers that have no idea of the Jewish story and have no idea of the importance of Jesus being Jewish and so on. And it's not that we discount that in any way. He was Jewish and he lived it, and that's important, and that makes sense of what we understand here. But the Greek understanding again of that there was this other being and the philosophy that was taught at that time period, John is really trying to help invite all people to the table. And he does a great job in it. So let's jump into the text and see what the Lord has for us today. So let's look here at the text here in John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Now again, he's making a bold claim here that the Word is, again, Jesus being this one who's already been around. Not just this baby Jesus, not just this man who lived some 30-some years, and not just this man who suffered a real death, but rose from the dead and claimed victory over death. And it changed everything. I mean, it changed everything. The reality is, John is saying that he was around from the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a radical statement. It's not even just saying, you know, he was around when God was around doing things. No, he's saying he was God. Again, this is where we understand him to be the second member of the Trinity, that it wasn't, God is a community, and we best experience life in community. That's where loved ones, family, the church come together and are supposed to, again, represent that and experience that. So back to the text. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Some major statements here John is making. I hope I'm able to bring it together for you, though, where I'm hoping to bring it here. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. That he's saying that all there is because of this Jesus. This is so much more than just Jesus, the Messiah, who was promised to be someone who is to rescue, be an instrument of God to rescue his people and restore them, okay, as people. No, it's bigger. It's like God was part of this movement, and Jesus was with him. And this Jesus is so much bigger than, again, just this time where God did a big deal, Christmas, you know, for us, we call Christmas, and this time of giving thanks for him, which is great, but it's so much bigger than, again, just, oh, he came as a little baby. He was God, right? In the beginning, he is wanting them to also, for those that do know the Jewish text, he's wanting them also to remember the creation story. That God, in Genesis chapter 1, we have this, in the beginning, God created, right? And we have picture of, again, of what God has done in creation, and then how quickly things unravel in chapter 3, and how, man, we are in desperate need of rescue, and explains a lot of the brokenness in life. But John is attaching this Jesus, saying he was with him, he was him, he is him in the beginning. Check out again how he just kind of helps kind of paint the pictures here. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Think about being in darkness and then being in light, how much easier it is to see things, how much easier it is to experience things, to embrace things. Some of you might have gotten up early to see the sunrise for New Year's. Maybe you like seeing the sunset, but the colors and then the beauty in nature and in life sometimes just are amazing. Some of us maybe that are present here maybe don't enjoy that much because maybe they just don't like mornings, but that's a whole other discussion. So anyhow, the text continues. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now hold on to that for a second. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Know that in Jesus, that darkness cannot overcome you, that no matter what you're facing, He is enough light for you and for me. Be encouraged by that. Know this from the core of who you are. God is enough. And I shared during a Christmas Eve service, I shared that like pregnant Mary, we carry Jesus where we are. And it's more like, again, Jesus carrying us for sure. But this is so important that as we go in this thing called life, as we go in our everyday life, Jesus is with us every step. We just need to pray for more awareness of God's presence. We need to pray that God would help us to know what He's doing in us and through us. And again, act in that and act on that. The text continues. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. He's always intended to come. This wasn't something like a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. No, he says, the one who gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This light is not just for me. It's light is for all people. This light is for those that nailed Jesus to the cross. This light is for those that are the biggest jerks in your life. This light is for all people, that God wants them to know of who He is and what He's doing in this world, so that they may embrace what He is wanting to do in them, so that they may come to this knowledge that He is at work in their life. He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. And I think that's crucial. A lot of times they don't recognize Him. I just heard a story just even today of one of our church family partners who's trying to say, you know, we need to be different. We need to be in the culture. We need to let our light shine, right? It's God's light in us, right? It's not our thing, but it's God's light. And in that time, check this out. I think this was big. The covenant partner is in line and saw that she had a few items and a person was behind her. And I guess the person was kind of stuck or whatever. And all of a sudden, she's like, you know what? If you want to come in, you know, in front, you can go ahead and take the thing. It was a great example again of how God's at work everywhere. And He just was trying to bless this gentleman through her. And He just comes off to her. He gives it to her. And I tried to encourage, when I heard it, I was like, ooh. Like he's like, oh, that would have been nice if you would have been quicker earlier. What about that? And he's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I take it back. I'm not going to do that again. He's everywhere at work in every person's life. Sometimes people embrace that. Some people don't. And I'm sorry that happened to her. I'm sorry that it happened. It'll happen to us. Things happen like that. The text continues. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. I think that's crucial. You and I understand this, that we all have rejected Him at one point or another. We're not stuck there. He says, but to all who believe Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. In the first century, children held no status or value in the community. Children were more like slaves in the sense of being property of another with no status, again, social value of their own. Think about that. As children, we're invited to be a part of what God's doing. He calls us this here in this verse, and yet in that time, it would not have encouraged His disciples. In fact, it probably was very humiliating. Like, oh man, why are you talking about the children like this, Jesus? Like, no one talks about the children like this. In the eyes of society, they brought nothing to the table of value again, right? Jesus' point was not to become carefree and whimsical, okay, like sometimes we can understand kids to be, but they would have been foreign concepts, in fact, for first century children. No, He says, but to all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. Yet, if we remain unaffected in our lives by this truth, then we've missed it, right? We might have celebrated all of Advent. We might have decorated the tree, set out the lights outside, experienced again what Christmas is for most people and getting together family and friends. But if we have been unaffected by this, then what's the point? I mean, that truth isn't just meant for us to just know about it, but to experience again a deeper walk with the Lord. Let's again take a look, a little bit closer look at the text. Again, he says, to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. See, believing is so much more than just knowing about it. It's to lead to us becoming. Believing must lead to us becoming. Believing can be a deceptive word. We can believe a whole bunch of things, about what we read through and consider, again, these last 25 days before Christmas, and then, in this new year and celebrating the 12 days of Christmas, but yet still be no closer to the real miracle of Christmas. No. We're invited to experience again this Jesus and the experience that we're going to experience a new birth in him. Now, that's a radical statement. But let's jump into the text here in just a second, and I'll show you. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. A birth that comes from God. Not from you, not from me having it all together, but because God's work in us changes everything. It opens a whole new way of living. But again, we all are invited to be reborn. The challenge is sometimes we just miss it. We don't see how this should impact us. So the Word became human and made his home among us. See, he wants us to be new people, but he says, you can't do it on your own. I'm going to do the work in you. And I'm going to go into your life and show you how to do it. You can't do it on your own. So the Word became human and made his home among us. That as God works in us, we actually get to experience home with him now. Our faith isn't just about someday in the future when we die. Our faith is about right here, right now, and experiencing his presence right now. Experiencing part of his joy. Experiencing even purpose in our life because he has invited us to come home, and we can now celebrate what home is supposed to be about. You know, he is to be our home. For Christians, the Christmas spirit, again, must help us in ways to help others experience, again, his joy and his love. How can we experience being home with him? It takes you and I opening our hearts and lives to his unfailing love, to his faithfulness. Now, how can we do that? Because we need to remember, he is always faithful. He is always faithful. In fact, he is wanting to help you and I know of his faithfulness right here, this day, this week, this year, like we've never had before. The Lord is not done with what he's doing. It's important for you and I to lean into it, to listen to what the Lord's doing. Give space in your day, in the morning or in the afternoon, or in the afternoon and the evening. Give space to the Lord every single day. I would encourage you to do it at least 2, if not 3 times a day. Set a timer, 3 to 5 minutes, be still. A short little breath prayer. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. However you start, let it just give space to it. Let it breathe. And as you're there, you'll sense God's peace. And he'll speak to you and know that he invites you. No matter what you're facing, he's always faithful. No matter what you're going through, no matter how angry you are, how frustrated, whatever emotions, good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. He says, I can take it. There's a whole character in the Bible known as Job. It's the first scripture that we have, that we know, the oldest scripture that we have. And in there, it's this amazing story, again, of a person, this man, Job, who was given so much, and yet everything was taken from him. Everything. All his loved ones. He was even told by someone who was to be partnering with him and encouraging him, his wife, he was told, you know, just curse God and die. I mean, that's just how bad, right? That's bad, right? But what does he do? He tells it how bad, you know, Lord, it'd be better if I never was born. It'd be better. And he just starts giving it. He's sharing what's really happening. He's not pretending. He's not just hoping. He's not just, well, you know, it's just kind of a, one of those times, you know. No, he leans into it. And he, through time, through God's grace, experiences God's faithfulness. And that's beautiful. And we need to know that we can experience that too. I want you to know you can experience that, but we need to give space and time so that God can work in us and through us, so that we can know this and not just know about it, but know it from our experience. Know it because of what he has been doing in us. You don't have to do this on your own. You're not supposed to. The whole point of believing is to help us to know who we're becoming. And he wraps up this. He says, we have seen this glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. See, what it comes down to is like Father, like Son. That as we see the Father, we see the Jesus. As we see Jesus, we know the Father. That as you read of this story, and we see that it's not just something that happened, but it's something that happens. We see that it's not just someone else's story or from a long time ago. It's our story, and it's right here, and it's right now. We need to know that God loved us so much that he sent his only Son so that we could experience his love, so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could have a relationship with other people as well. It's not just about knowing and loving God. Don't get me wrong. That's huge. But it's about you and I connecting and loving others. And I know there's a lot of work God has to continue to do on me. And I have a hunch that he's still wanting to do some work on you. It's because our brokenness is deep. There's work that God has to do in us. And it's not something that just microwave cooking can handle. It's something that you and I, day after day, go to the Lord. We turn it over to him. We surrender it and say, Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to live like you. Help me to think like you. Help me to love others the way you love others. Be encouraged that as Christ is born, he invites you and I to celebrate him afresh. We're going to take a few moments for the final word and the benediction, but I just want to encourage you, as Christ is born again and again, celebrating these 12 days of Christmas, be encouraged and know God's love right here, this day, this moment. Make Jesus your home. Understand that it's so easy to just kind of think about Jesus or to ascribe to things he's taught or to things that the church does to maybe, again, go to service and things like we have here now. And that's good. But Jesus he didn't die for a service. He wants us and him to share a home together. Make your life his home. Make everything that you are in him, and watch what he does in you and through you. Watch how you experience more joy this year. That if we were to make him our home this day and this year, it might be the best. Now, I'd say this. It would be the greatest year of our lives in growth and in peace and in sharing his hope with others. It's not about us, again, trying harder. It's about us embracing what God has for us, the way he's ordered things. So be encouraged in this. Your homework this week is to read John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Because it's crucial for us that we remember again that this, again, isn't just something that happened, but it's our story too. And so read again on your own this week. I invite you to do that, that beautiful time. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next week.